But you've heard the phrase, two heads are better than one. Well, it appears that that's not necessarily the case. Do you find that you're better making decisions on your own, or do you find that it's better making decisions with other people? Are you more likely to doubt a decision that you've made if there's someone else involved? Or does it actually help you to make that decision? Well, there is much more science behind this than you might think. Dr. David Valeriani is from the University of Essex. He has done a study of how the brain behaves in decision-making. David, thank you for coming on the programme.
Thank you for hosting me.
Now, before we start, I just want to clarify a point. Did you do this study on your own, or was there somebody else involved in doing this study?
No, I was obviously involved with a couple of colleagues of mine. So, first of all, Professor Riccardo Poli and Dr. Caterina Cinel, both from the University of Essex.
Yeah. So do you feel with those others involved, you made the right decisions or the wrong decisions on the study?
Yeah, I think I made the right decision in this case, but obviously we make decision on a daily basis. We make hundreds of decisions every day, so not in all of them, like working with others is actually bad. It's usually good, actually. In this study, we mainly talked about decision under uncertainty, so when we don't have enough information for making a reliable decision, and so we were studying the possibility of using groups of people to decide in this type of context, in this type of circumstances, and see in which conditions the groups are actually better than individuals.
Right. So, I mean, the big question is, are two heads better than one? In what circumstances is a person doing it on their own best, and in what circumstances is a group of people best?
So, in principle, like in this study, we showed that when there is uncertainty involved, it's better to make your own decision in isolation, so without talking to anyone, because whenever you start talking or whenever you start sharing information with other people, this stops you in making decision using your gut feeling or your unconscious mind, but you start being more interested on did they make the right decision or what the others gonna think about me in that particular moment. So here we were actually not only studying the behavior of people, but we were studying their brain and their brain activity using electroencephalography, so EEG. And we showed that in this study that the brain activity of people actually change depending on if you are making your decision in a room alone without talking to anyone, or if you are making a decision in a room but exchanging information with others as well.
So you can actually see the brain's activity changing according to those two situations. So you effectively you can see doubt, can you?
Yeah, we can see the decision making strategy that the user is applying. If it is like more related to what he has perceived on that particular task, or if it's more related to like the type of social context or social environment in which he or she is involved.
How are you going to use this research?
So in our group, we are mainly interested in studying the brain activity to see if with electroencephalography, we can tap into the unconscious mind of the user before any other reasoning takes place, and assess from the brain activity if the user is confident or not in a decision that he has made. And so the main aim of this study is actually to improve our decisions in a variety of contexts. We can think about the financial market. We can think about surveillance applications. So when there are like police officers that have to identify a threat inside in a camera picture, or we can think about radiologists that have to make diagnosis over X-ray images. So in all these situations where you have like critical decision making, which like a wrong decision can cost money or loss of lives, even we want really to reduce to the minimum the number of erroneous decisions we make.
Right.
So we are developing this brain-computer interface using electroencephalography activity and also machine learning algorithms to try to assess if a person is trustworthy in that particular decision, if you can trust him or her, or if we should trust another person in the group.
Really? So mind reading, really. You're finding out whether we should trust somebody or not by reading their decisions and reading their minds.
Mind reading is not necessarily a kind of description that we like in research, right? Because we cannot read the mind of a person using electroencephalography, and I want to make this clear, so there is no risk of any mind reading or knowing what you are thinking that particular moment. We are more looking at patterns, so we are more looking at signatures of your brain that tells you if the user is actually confident or not in that particular decision.
So going back to the actual decision itself, I have to make a decision. For the most part, it's better if I trust my instinct, my gut feeling, because my gut feeling has developed over, you know, thousands of generations, hasn't it? And my instinct has developed over all those generations, rather than sitting in a room saying, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? So trust your gut.
Yes, especially in decisions where you don't have enough information to process, so you can't really reach a very informed decision. It's better to trust your gut and just make the decision as soon as possible, so that you can use all the small information, small pieces of information your brain has perceived before they disappear.
Also, David, I've sat on a lot of committees in my time, and I'm not a committee person, to be honest. You very often get somebody on the committee who's very dominant, don't you? And maybe other people on the committee who aren't as dominant. Are they affected? Are their decisions affected by the dominant person, even if the dominant person is wrong?
Yes, absolutely. This is called leadership bias, and actually is one of the circumstances in which group decision making is not actually better than individuals. So, in other words, where two or more minds are not actually better than only one, because that decision in committees, when there is a very overconfident and very strong leader, will end up being like a single decision most of the times. So this leader is going to decide for the group in most of the situations. And in those contexts, it's much better to actually ask each member of the committee to cast their vote, to decide something, and then integrate the decisions of each one as a group at a later stage, so that no one influences each other.
God damn. This is absolutely fascinating stuff. Does it make, when you go into meetings, does it make you sort of wary of saying things?
Well, in general, when I go to meetings, I just study the meeting behaviors more from a research point of view than what it actually talk about. But yeah, absolutely, every meeting is also different from each other, so groups are not always the same. Here, obviously, we are talking about mean and averages across different types of groups. Yeah,
David, absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. Dr. David Valeriani from the University of Essex, and this is studying how the brain behaves in decision-making. So